The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, so we have two problems tonight. Problem number one is this is verse 24, so it's like watching the third episode of a miniseries, or worse, watching a miniseries and having someone sit down with you to watch the third part and spend the whole thing saying, "Well, who's that? Well, what's this? Well, what's going on here?" Number two, we're programmed to think that apocalypse means eschatology. Now, I know you don't use those words, but what you would say is it's about the end of the world, which it's not. So with that in mind, let me give you a brief intro, and we'll see if I can help out to make meaning of tonight's strange text. So Mark 13 begins with the apostle. Jesus rides into town, and he gets into the temple, and the apostles are with him, and the apostles are doing that Gomer Pyle thing. "Well, go all the way. Look how big this building is." They are people from Nazareth. They live in a small village. I don't know how tall the tallest building would have been for them, but my guess it was not. A church this size may have been larger than anything they'd ever seen. All right? So there's this elaborate, glorious temple, and they're like literally saying to him, "Look how big the stones are. Look how big the stones are." And Jesus rains on their parade. He says, "Not one stone's going to be left on another." So then later that day, the inside group, including our own beloved St. Andrew, come to Jesus and they say, "Give us more details." So one of the fundamental problems we're in the scriptures is, We are programmed. Think about like the big football game Saturday, right? Well, all week long you're having people prognosticating and giving, "What's going to happen? Want to know what's going to happen?" And we fall in love with knowing about stuff before it happens. We want to know, and so we love end of times. Man, when I say I'm going to do the book of Revelation, everyone's all interested in the book of Revelation because they think I'm going to give them secrets and they're going to find out when the end of the world is. And I'm sworn to secrecy. I'm not allowed to tell y'all. So, what Jesus warns about is a lot of false prophets, which I've been told in the past means at the end of the age, there's going to be a lot of false prophets, except that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about after him, there are going to be people in Jerusalem who are going to lead rebellions. And we actually have the names that you can look up in the past. So, he's talking about these rebel leaders who are going to lead the people astray, who are going to end up leading the people right into a civil war. It's kind of like picking a bar fight with a guy who's 6'8 and 350 pounds, and he's a world-class, athlete and you just say, that's the guy I'm going to pick on. And Jesus is saying, that's really not a good idea. Rome annihilated them. So what's going to happen also, Jesus says, is you're going to hear wars and rumors of war. And Rome was around the world doing just that. And the approaching army. And there's all sorts of issues going on in Rome with one of them, Nero, you've heard of. But others, there's this series of Roman emperors who are coming and going and reigning in a real short time. And civil wars and all that stuff. And Jesus said that's just the beginning of the problems. Jesus says his followers will be arrested and persecuted, which actually happened. And he advises them that when the army of Rome arrives, they should run away. And we talked about this just a few minutes ago. Like left behind, you've all heard about left behind, right? Left behind means they didn't kill you. The ones they took, the women were used as sex slaves, or they were used as servants who are going to take care of things. Like, you wanted to be left behind. You did not want the Romans to take you or to kill you. So what Jesus is saying is run to the hills. Now, at the end of the world, think about this. Would Jesus' advice be at the end of the world, run to the hills? That's not going to work. But when there's an invading army, it does work. So that's why it says run to the hills. In 70 A.D., hundreds of thousands of Jews lost their life. Hundreds of thousands of Jews lost their life. Now, Isaiah gives us a little help here. Because in Isaiah chapter 10, it uses a very stereotypical way of talking about catastrophic events. The sun and the moon go dark, and the stars fall from the skies. But there's one other little thing there, and I don't know if you caught it. Well, where did it go? The power, it talks about the powers. Oh, I can't find it. Darn it. Anyhow. Oh, that's part of it. It talks about the Isaiah 10. It's not Isaiah 64. He's quoting from Isaiah 10. So when the stars fall from the sky, you all heard of horoscopes, right? How do we view stars in the sky? Through astronomy. So when I say stars, you think of a big ball. You really don't understand it, but basically you're told it's a big gas ball that's on fire and it's huge, right? When we don't think of the stars as governing our lives. I mean, we may say, I'm a Taurus, I'm an Aries, but we don't really think. But the stars and all those things in the sky were understood to be the gods, the principalities and powers which ran people's lives. So astrology is a leftover remnant of that. So those things falling from the skies indicates that the powers that are behind the scenes in the universe are going to be replaced, that they're falling down. Then, when they shake the heavens, the world shakes along with it. Then we hear about the Son of Man in the clouds, which I was told, and if you watch the movies, you know, Jesus is going to come on a cloud, and we haven't really figured out how the whole world's going to see Jesus. Are you going to make phone calls? He's here. The sky's not big enough. Well, coming on a cloud is actually taken from Daniel 7. What it refers to is the enthronement of the human being whom God has declared in to be his Messiah, who's going to take care of the evil of the world. So in other words, when it says, you will see the Son of Man in the clouds, what it literally means is, I will be exalted to God. It's not a vision of a man on clouds. It is a declaration that Jesus will be exalted and vindicated. So what did the command to stay alert? Watch, keep awake, will appear in the next couple chapters when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to the apostles, watch, stay awake, keep watch with me. So it's not some end of the world thing. It's coming right now. This is the beginning when they come to get Jesus to execute him. And the sleepy apostles will fail to watch. And so what is now the question is, will you and I keep watch? Will we keep our eyes on the wheel, or will we be distracted by everything that comes flying down the world? The symbolic language unveils for us the patterns that are true in every age. All right? We don't have a Roman Caesar, but we do have corrupt leaders. We do have a world where people in power, and with more power today than in any time in history. There's someone listening to this conversation right now. There's someone listening to us. In my pocket and in most of your pockets. So, and that's how widespread it is. And they know what you think, they know what you want, and they know how to advertise to you. And you have a conversation, and the next day you get 6 advertisements for Smoky Links because you mentioned, remember when we were kids, we ate Smoky Links, and you get smoke. So we live in a world where the diabolical power has such reach that it's unimaginable. But Christ tells us stay awake. Christ tells us that the spiritual foes that we are battling with in this day and time will not be victorious because he has ascended to God's right hand. That the Father will act. And our speculation about when the world ends will cause us to miss the end of this age and the end of, as the church father said, the one that's personally relevant to us, the end of our age. Because it doesn't matter if the world ends. We know that our world will end. And that's what we have to get ready for, to live a life that when we come before God, that it's embraced by God is a good thing. What I'm going to tell you is this year we're not doing 2 collections. Obviously, we don't do collections. Is this thing on? What we're telling y'all at home, we are going to have a single Advent Christmas collections, but it's going to serve 2 functions. We're not going to have Christmas angels like we typically do. We need people to donate saying, I would like to be a Christmas angel, because we have, I think it's 13 families that we're providing food and basic needs for. In addition to that, we're also doing our support of all those agencies, like bringing the scriptures to the third world. There's a group we have in a secret location under threat of hostile government. We want to help this church. There's a lot of things we have going on. And then, you know, MIFA and Church Health Center and all those agencies, Paige Robbins out here, all the different agencies. So we're going to ask you to continue to give for the Christmas fund, but it's going to be 2 different things. And if you want it to go to a particular one, you need to identify either outreach or Christmas angels. And if you just send it, we'll put it in a big clop and we'll do with that, okay? So that's one way we can watch and stay awake. So let's stand and profess our faith.